I am so excited to share this word. This is a word that I did on a podcast, but when Brother Marcus asked me to speak, I knew that this word was the same word that I was going to bring to you guys. It's powerful. It's something that I'm working on in my own life and applying in my own life. And so, and the way I like to preach is I like to teach and I like to give practical steps to be healed, practical things, because Jesus taught in parables, right? He was very practical. And he was a teacher more than he was a preacher. And so, so today's sermon title and I just wanted to mention really quickly to you guys that then I also have a podcast. It's A Life Overflowing. If you just search that in Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you'll find it. And I've got a full season of podcasts on there, working on more. And I have another one that's going to be up tomorrow on toxic masculinity, the whole feminism, it's like a hot button topic podcast. So check that out as well. But let's get the show on the road today. And I'm just going to pray really quickly as well. Father, we just come to your throne of grace, Lord. And I just ask, Father, that this word would penetrate hearts and spirits, just as you said in your word, that it's a double-edged sword, Father God, and that it would reach the ears that need to hear it, that it would reach blind eyes, Father God, that it would open people's eyes to see, because sometimes we have blind spots, Lord, that we can't see in it within ourselves, and we have this self-righteousness or this sometimes this pain that we can't even see that gotten a hold of us so that it's causing us to hurt others or hurt ourselves in the process, Lord. And I just ask, Father God, that you would begin to show us, Father God, the places that need healing, and that you would help us to apply this word tonight, Father God, to get our healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so if you're taking notes, the sermon title is When the Pain is Just Too Great. And we're going to be talking today about emotional pain. I know today's topic is emotional pain, and there are some possible triggers, nothing too bad, I don't think, but I do want to let you know that. But I ask that you stick around. I ask that you pray for God's strength to help you listen, to help this be a time of healing, and with him, and not a hurtful one, right? Like, sometimes you got to open the wound and put some oil in it, put some, you know, some Neosporin or antibiotic in it, but you got to open the wound a little bit to get the healing. Am I right? Praise God. Okay, so, and it is also his Holy Spirit is all that we need to overcome, and that's the goal of today's podcast. I just want to help you overcome. So I'm also going to give you 3 steps to healing from any emotional pain that you might have. There's no quick fix. I know that I'm guilty all the time of, you know, when I do talk to Brother Marcus or any kind of spiritual advisor or pastor, I'm always like, just tell me what to do. Just tell me the solution, right? We want to know, just tell me what to do, God. And it's, sometimes it's not that easy, because the healing is in the journey. It's in the seeking of the Lord. It's in the discovering. The Lord wants to be sought, right? And how many of us know that if he just fixed our problems like that, like a genie, we wouldn't really seek him as much. I don't think we would, right? Sometimes we get away from him when we get easy answers and quick things. And it's not that he is doing that in a manipulation type of way, because there's no manipulative bone, you know, in the Lord's body, of course. But I think that he's just drawing us and he's trying to teach us things. And so if you're suffering today with emotional pain, it's not that God is wanting this to linger. He's just wanting you to go through a process so that you're able to help others through that same pain. All right, so I definitely feel that there will be a breakthrough at some level if you apply these steps in your life, because I am very practical. But again, it's not a quick fix or an overnight journey. So the first thing we need to do before we get to the step is we need to address our pain, right? So I can't imagine what you have gone through and how it's hurt you. And there is absolutely no excuse for it, right? Like, if you have, you know, we live in a fallen and sinful world. And unfortunately, though God doesn't cause bad things, they happen because we have a very real enemy. We have the devil, we have his demons. And I know this sounds kind of like a woo-woo type concept to some of you, because maybe you're new to the faith, but there's a very real enemy. And the Bible says in John 10:10, He wants to steal, kill. The devil roars around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy anything good in your life. He wants to steal from you, kill your dreams. He wants to just destroy you. And so, but God wants to give you life and give it to you in abundance. That's what John 10:10 says. And so, you know, I'm definitely not a prosperity gospel preacher or believer in that. But at the same time, you guys, if we follow the principles and the word of God, we are going to be blessed. We are going to have abundant lives. Like, if we are honest in our finances and our business dealings, and we're treating our families with love and our spouses and our children, and we are honest and we are giving and we're selfless and we're taking care of our temple, like we're living according to God's statutes, right? We are going to be blessed, because the wages of sin is death. I tell this to people all the time, especially when I talk to atheists. I'm like, the Bible makes sense. Not only is it a faith, you know, to believe the Bible, but really, you don't have to have much faith to believe in it, because it makes sense, right? Like, if we go out and we get wasted all the time, we blow our money, we have no self-control, no self-discipline, we gossip, we slander, we, you know, harm other people in our relationships, we never spend time with our families, we eat whatever we want, like, we're going to have a bad life, right? Eventually, I mean, that stuff feels good sometimes for the moment, but eventually we are going to suffer the consequences. And so if we try to follow God's ways, we are going to have life and have it in abundance. That's a promise that he gives you, and you can stand on that. You can take that to the bank. So unfortunately, though, we live in a fallen world, and even if we are trying our best to seek the Lord and walk in his ways, we are still going to experience pain. The Bible says the righteous have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Bible says in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, up, overcome the world. So we're going to have, you know, this pain. And this pain can infiltrate our lives with bitterness, anger, wrath, can even make us physically sick. There's a verse in John that says, I pray that you would be blessed and that your soul would prosper just as your health would prosper just as your soul prospers. There's a correlation, you guys, between our soul prospering and our health, 100%. Because if we're worried, if we're angry all the time, I mean, that affects our stomach, that affects our, you know, our mental state, that affects our body, right? And so are you dealing today with the repercussions of that in your own life? You might not even realize that in some ways that you act or respond to people are because of your intense emotional pain. I know there are things that I've gone through in my own life that, you know, that I haven't fully worked through or dealt with yet. And so it causes this anger, and this anger comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, why am I acting this way? Well, it's because I have emotional pain that has not been healed yet. And so I'm right there along with you guys, walking this out with you. And so in Western medicine too, they talk a lot about physical ailments that are caused by emotional suffering. I've experienced this all too well. I have a condition called bile gastritis. And I have noticed, like, you know, it was under control for a while, you know, and I was like, what is the difference of what, when it's under control, when it's not? And I literally figured out it was stress and anger and anxiety that was causing it to flare up. And I was like, wow. So you're telling me if I just control my emotions, I can control this condition, you know? And praise God, he's always healed me. But, you know, that's something that is definitely tied to our physical well-being and our emotional well-being. And so bitterness or anger can also boil over into other areas of our life. It can make us negative, cynical, critical, and I'll tell you today, that is definitely not the life that God wants you to live. I can attest that I've lived that way for way too long in my life. And, you know, it's not fruitful. It's not nice. It's not peaceful. I don't know about you, but I want more peace in my life. So I don't know what you've gone through. I can't imagine the pain some of you guys have experienced. I'm not trying to minimize that, because I'm sure, you know, there could be years of mental abuse, physical abuse, a tragic death or loss, sexual assault, sexual abuse. Maybe you went through an abortion, maybe infidelity, the lack or absence of a parent or their love in your life, like maybe you had the parent there, but they weren't good, that's still a huge loss. And the list goes on, right? We all have our struggles and pains, but I can tell you that it does seem like some people's is a lot less than our own sometimes, right? I'm like, why does it look like so-and-so has it so good? But I also want to just remind you that it's okay. This is something that, you guys, I go to counseling, Christian counseling, and I highly recommend it, to find a good Christian counselor, because we all have wounds, we all have pain that we need to work through. And one of the things that she said was that she's like, you know, everything you've experienced, she's like, you have every right to be angry about. And she said, it's okay to tell God that you're angry. It's okay to feel angry about what was stolen from you in your childhood or whatever. So I want to just remind you guys today, you know, maybe you need to grieve your pain. Maybe that's step number 1A, right? Before we even get to step number one, maybe you need to take some time to grieve your pain and grieve your loss and what you went through and say, hey, this was not okay. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. I need healing for this in my life. And God wants to give that to you, like that time of grief. He's right there. The Bible says he is close. He is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, right? So I think that's part of the healing, is going through that and grieving the loss or what never was or what, you know, will never be. And God can also restore that. So while you're grieving that, just know that there is hope. There is definitely hope. The Bible says he restores what the locusts have eaten, but we have to come to him. He's not just going to restore it if we're just going to keep living our lives the way we want. We're not going to pursue healing. We're not going to pursue him. He's not going to restore it that way. Like, we have to come to him, right? He's the living water. You can't be filled up and satiated if you're not going to the water well, right? Like today, I was at the gym and I was like, doing a really hard workout, and I was like just dying, and I was like, wait a minute, I need to drink some water, you know. And I realized like, okay, I'm not gonna be able to get through this workout without the water. And so water is just, you know, it's life, and God is the living water. So we have to come to him to get that healing. So all right, so I know we're also tempted to look at other people's lives and compare, but there's so much, you guys, that we don't know about other people's stories. And we might see their highlight reel, and as a single person, you might see that woman with her loving husband and children, but little did you know that she was raped when she was younger and carries that trauma with her daily, and it affects her marriage. Or as a married woman, you might see singles living it up while you feel trapped in a loveless marriage. No matter what your situation, we can fall into this trap, right? You might see somebody that has all the money in the world, but guess what? They don't have anybody that truly loves them aside from their money. And that's very lonely. Like, I don't care how rich you are. If you don't have love, you know what I mean? Like, true love, people that really care about you, you're broke. And I know we've heard that before, but it really is true. I think there's some deep things that people go through that never share. They're never going to share that publicly. You know, I think I posted something on Facebook one time, and I was like, post a meme about what you guys think my life is like, you know, and so many people just posted me like walking through the flowers and everything's great, because I do like to share a lot of the good things in my life, like with my family or whatever. But like, I'm like, little do they know, you know what I'm saying? What goes on behind the scenes, what trauma I've experienced, like, you know. And so it was funny because I was like, I need to start sharing the trials too, right? So that people have a more accurate view of what my life is really like, because, you know, it's not all roses, and I'm sure yours is not all roses either. And so if we know that ours aren't, and I'm telling you mine's not, and I guarantee you people on this line, like, we need to understand that we're coveting something that's really not there. And that's what the devil does. He tries to lie to us and get us to think that, oh, these people have it so good, when they really don't. They really don't. They have struggles just like you and me. Okay, so I want to start off with some promises that God has for us so we can have hope in the midst of the hurting. We're almost to the first step, but I want to share these promises first, okay? So 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, you are saved. If you are not saved, tonight's a good night to get saved. Will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That means he's going to restore what was stolen from you. He's going to confirm you. He's going to give you confirmation about these things. He's going to give you confirmation about who you are. He's going to strengthen you and make you stronger in the spirit, and he's going to establish you. He is going to be the one that fixes the things and makes you an established person. You're not going to feel like you're just floating through life anymore, okay? Psalm 34, 17 through 20, and these are all ESV, by the way, says, when the righteous cry out for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. I don't know about y'all, but God has gotten me through every single trouble I've ever been through. And when I'm going through something, and we need to remind ourselves of that, right? That, hey, he's delivered me out of everything I've been through. And maybe there's some long trials that are going on for a long time. You're like, well, what about this one? Believe me, there is someone in my life I have been praying for my entire life, and I have not seen that change yet. I have not seen anything come from that yet. But you know what? I know it's going to happen, and I'm still going to choose to believe and pray for it. So it says, when the righteous cry out for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's what I was talking about before, that verse. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. How many? Did it say some? Did it say a few? No, it says all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. That's just amazing. I just think, like, you know, and our righteousness is not that we're perfect. It's our righteousness in Christ, right? Okay, so also Psalm 147:3, this is one of my favorite verses of all time. It's probably my favorite verse of all time. And it literally says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God promises you that, you guys. He promises healing for that emotional pain, whatever it is, the wounds. You know, it says he heals, but he also binds up, and that means to bandage, right, the wounds. So, my friends, I just want to encourage you today that we can stand on these promises daily. And so now we're going to keep moving on to the three steps of healing. So the first step is to, and we kind of talked about this a little bit before, but to confess your pain and anger to the Lord. My friends, God doesn't like to see us hurt. In fact, he's angry too at the pain that we must endure while we're here on this earth, because the enemy is allowed to rule right now and reign on the earth while, you know, until Jesus comes back again. We can come to him. We can cry out. We can yell. We can scream. Just get it all out. Like, take a drive in the country. Go out to a secluded place. Cry, you know, write it out in a journal, like write how you feel. He can take it. He's God Almighty, and he will lovingly listen, just like a parent who wraps their arms around their children when they're hurting. Have you ever seen a child just throwing a tantrum and they're just freaking out, and, you know, the good parent just comes to them and just hugs them, and they're still crying and they're trying to fight, and, you know, but the good parent just continues to soothe them and comfort them and hug them. Just picture that. That's what God does with us. He's there all the time. You can come to him anytime you want. In the middle of the night, when you wake up and you have anxiety, you can come to him, right? And so you can journal. You can go to counseling. You can just vent to a safe, trusted friend or minister. We must let it out, because holding it in will not do any good. Let me tell you, if you hold things in, and I am learning to speak my truth, my peace, I'm learning to speak what bothers me, because if we hold it in, it's going to eat away at us like a cancer. And we must also ask for forgiveness from God for any sins that we've committed due to our anger. And anger itself is not a sin, so don't feel condemned. But if we've done anything out of that anger to harm God or others, then I think confession is a good idea. So confession, grieving, things like that, got to get that out first, okay? James 5:15-16 says, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, and he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or woman has great power to prevail. So there is healing within confession and praying for each other. And that's so crucial, right? And so it's important to confess our sins and, you know, to save trusted people in our lives. So that's number one, confess, grieve, share, you know, ask for forgiveness from the Lord. And you might feel, you might be like, why do I have to ask forgiveness? I didn't choose to be hurt, but we choose how we react to the hurt sometimes. And so, you know, and God knows, God is, he is so graceful. He is so merciful and loving. He's not holding that over your head, I promise you, because he knows how painful it was. Jesus experienced everything we did here on earth, and he is compassionate, and he is the one sitting there petitioning the Lord for us because he knows how it feels to be human. You know what I mean? So number two, step number two, this is the most important thing you could ever do in your Christian walk besides get saved, right? I tell people this all the time. Meditate on God's healing word. You will not have as near, you will have maybe 1% of the victory that you could have if you're not meditating on the word of God. It needs to be a practice in your life. I don't care how you do it. I don't care. Get a journal, get a note card, write it on your phone in the notes section. That's what I do a lot of times. This is one of the most powerful ways to get healing and victory in any single area of your life. But it's something that we do not do at all. Why? Why do we not do that as Christians? And I'm not coming with condemnation, but I'm like, if we're so busy that we don't even have time to meditate on God's word at least 5 minutes a day, at least picking one or two scriptures to meditate on for the week, we're too busy, you guys. We're too busy, and we need to make this a priority. And it's sad that we as Christians don't even try to memorize or meditate on God's word. And you know what? The enemy wants to distract us and keep us busy and keep us from doing that because he knows how powerful that is. I can't even tell you guys how many times I have literally preached I have prayed the word of God, and I see results when I pray the word of God. That's what he gave it to us for. He didn't give it to us so it sits in a book and looks pretty, and we're like, oh, that's so nice. He gave it to us so that we could get it inside of our hearts and spirit. There's a verse that says, write it on your doorpost, write it on your heart, tie it around your neck. Like, literally, he wants us to preach, pray the word of God all the time and have it in our heart and memorize it and be able to, like, pull it out. When someone needs encouragement, when someone's going through something, we need to be able to say, hey, John so-and-so says this verse. We need that in our arsenal, right, for ourselves but also to help other people. We have an entire 1,000 pages of promises, healing, et cetera, that we don't utilize. And do y'all think that that is just there so that we just look at it and then we get to heaven one day? No, this is like our instruction manual here on earth, and we don't utilize it. Like, to me, that's crazy. It's like God handed us something and said, here, if you really read and memorize this, you're going to have complete victory here on this earth. Like, and we're like, oh, no, I'm too busy. I'm just going to listen to another sermon by Stephen Furtick. And like, okay, nothing wrong with that, right? But at the same time, are you absorbing the word of God? Sermons are great, but they're a second hand from the actual Bible. We need to get back in our Bibles, and I'll get off my rant. But that is step number two, meditate on God's word. So even if you just take 5 minutes a day where you put down your phone, put it on do not disturb, and you memorize 1 to 2 verses a week, I do one verse of something I need to work on and one verse of a promise that I'm standing on. And then I write down Bible verses that I pray over friends and family in my notes section or in my journal, and then I pray those over and over again over family. So you can write them down one time, right? If you know that someone's struggling with alcoholism, find a verse on addiction. If the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. Write it in your prayer journal, put it in there next to their name in a notes section of your phone or something, and then pray that over them. It is so powerful. So if you were to memorize just one verse a week, you would have 52 verses a year. One verse a week is 52 verses a year, and that will drastically change your life, I promise you. One verse that I mentioned above is the Psalm 147:3. That's a great one. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's a great one to start with if your heart is broken due to emotional pain. Like, pray that over yourself. We also have to remember that our pain goes deeper than just our emotions. It affects our soul, our minds, our hearts, our bodies. That's why the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Our pain goes much deeper than we think, which is why we need much more than just time to heal. Time does not heal all wounds. God does. Have you ever seen a drug addict or an alcoholic or known them or been one yourself? I know I've been there with alcohol before, and they're still at it many years after the trauma occurs. Why? Many years. They're still in that addiction. Why? Not just because of the addiction, but because their pain is still there. So time does not heal all wounds. Their pain is still there. So they're still trying to hold on or like numb themselves from that pain. That's all addiction is. You are trying to numb yourself from the pain, the reality of your pain. And that's what addiction is. And it's the worst kind of demonic influence ever. I think that and sexual sin against children and things like that, those are some of the worst tactics the enemy uses. So I kind of wanted to add a mini step in here, but this one will also be a lot easier once we've dealt with the pain God's way. The mini step is to also stop the bleeding. So maybe consider this 2A or 2B, right? We have to stop the bleeding. We must immediately quit the ways that we numb ourselves from the pain, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, pornography, gossip, slander, criticism, sloth, right? Like maybe being lazy. There's so many things that we do to just like, we'll disassociate, right? We'll be on social media for 3 hours because we don't want to deal with the stuff in our lives. We'll stay busy all the time because we don't want to deal with the stuff in our lives. We're workaholics. There's always some way in which we're trying to numb the pain, right? So we have to realize the cause behind these actions and stop trying to fill that void with the things that are only going to cause more damage and destruction, right? Because sin never just affects you. Sin always affects those around you as well. And so we have to stop the bleeding. So that's step 2B. Now we're going to move on to step 3. So step 1 was confess the sin, the anger, confess to God how you're really feeling. Number 2 is meditate on the Word of God. So find verses on what you're struggling with or what pain you went through and meditate on those. And then 3 is have the conversation. Now this one requires a lot of courage, but you can pray that, you know, ask God for that courage if possible, right? Whether it be a parent who hurt you, a spouse, an abuser, if possible, a friend. And you don't have to, if like that situation is going to put you back into a position where you feel like you're going to be hurt all over again, or, you know, you really have to use the Holy Spirit's guidance on this. But I've known so many people who have had conversations with their abusers in the past, and that person bawled and started crying and asked for forgiveness. And you know what I mean? And I'm sure there's other ones that didn't go that way, but just use the Holy Spirit's guidance on whether or not to do that. And maybe, you know, talk to a minister or a counselor before you do that. Depending on is it safe to do that or not. So we have to have the conversation about how they hurt us. We must also be open to asking for forgiveness to them for the hate that we have carried in our hearts, right? So forgiveness, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. They're the ones who hurt me. But yes, they hurt you first and the most. But I know, dear friends, that it doesn't excuse their behavior. But we can ask for forgiveness of anyone that we have hurt back due to our anger. Either way, clearing the air, while I know it can be extremely difficult, is a breeding ground for breakthrough, forgiveness, and miracles. There are so many doors that we open for the enemy when we don't forgive or we don't ask for forgiveness. Like the Bible says, if you don't bring your offering, but you know somebody has something against you, you might as well not even give it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, whoa. So that's huge. And so I think that, you know, pray over this conversation before you have it, that the Lord would soften both of your hearts and your minds and that His will would be done in that. You'd be surprised how much the other person was waiting for you to have that conversation with them so that they would have the chance to apologize. You might even get the apology that you've always deserved. and they might even be able to explain why they did what they did, even though it wouldn't excuse their behavior, but still, like, oh, I did this to you because of this. Like, I recently watched this documentary where this man had just, I mean, just raped this girl, did horrible things to her whole life, killed her. And he talked a little bit in the documentary about his past. He was raped. He was scalded. He was sexually abused by these boys in a group home. I mean, there were things that happened to create this man into a monster, right? Nobody just comes out the gate as a murderer or, you know, an abuser. A lot of times, like 99% of the times, when people are sexual abusers, they've been sexually abused. And so it's just this perpetual cycle. And God wants to heal and mend that, but the enemy wants to keep that in darkness and secret and keep it going, right? And so there was this one guy I remember I heard on the sermon, and it was on forgiveness, and the guy said that his dad had, like, beat him mercilessly when he was little. And, you know, he said that one day his dad was old, he hadn't had contact with him in a long time, and he went and he had a conversation. He just said, I need to ask your forgiveness because I've hated you, I've slandered you, I've told everybody what you did, you know, blah, blah, blah. The man, the dad, literally bawled his eyes out, broke down, and hugged the son, begged him at his knees to forgive him, and said, I'm so sorry for what I did to you. My father abused me, and that's the only way I knew, and I took out all my anger on you, and now they're working towards having a better relationship. And, you know, I mean, it's just miraculous what forgiveness can do, because it truly does open, unforgiveness opens the door for the enemy. And so, as difficult as it may be, if possible, have the conversation. I know that it will be healing. And, you know, maybe you can't have the conversation. Maybe the person who hurt you or abused you or did betrayed you, maybe they're dead. And maybe you can get out a journal and write a letter to them. Maybe you can have a conversation with a loved one or a counselor about them, like, and kind of do a role play where that person, you know, responds in the way that you wish they would have, or, you know, someone just listens to you, right? But I think having those grown conversations, there's so much of a lack of emotional maturity these days because we don't have conversations anymore. We ghost people. We just block people. Oh, they're toxic, whatever, whatever. Well, how is anyone ever going to grow or mature or get better if we don't talk to them about what hurt us, you know? And so I think having the conversation, asking for forgiveness, even though that's going to be hard, I know, because they were the one that hurt you first. But I think there's so much healing that can happen from that. So I'll leave you with this. I'm kind of winding down, and then we're going to do some prayer. So I invite you to get your hearts ready that if you need prayer for unforgiveness, if you've experienced something, some horrific thing, and you want to, you know, confess it, or you just want to ask for an unspoken prayer request against someone you need to forgive, whatever it is, we're here to pray for you. There's no foolproof plan or actual formula to get complete healing. There may always be a scar left behind. But if you do these three biblical steps, you are guaranteed some sort of breakthrough, even if it's just within your own heart that you have more peace, even if it's just closure and like, oh, you feel relief that that's finally done, or whatever it is, you're going to see some breakthrough. Some of these things are scary and challenging, I know, and they take work and it might take time for you to do them, but it isn't your peace and your healing worth it? Like, don't you want to be healed and whole so that you don't pass on the bitterness, the abuse, or any of that to those around you, your children, your children's children? Like, there are some things, you guys, that I've seen. You know, I recently saw someone close to me, and I saw their family, and I saw how beautiful the legacy is of their family. And I'm like, wow, like, I want that for my family. But that's going to take me getting healed and me sitting at the feet of Jesus and meditating on the Word of God and worshiping and praying and fasting. That's going to take me doing the steps and trying to walk in a biblical way for my children and children's children to be blessed. And I don't have children yet. God willing, I will. one day, but even those around me, right? Like, I want prosperity and wholeness and abundance and peace. I want all that for my immediate family. And a lot of it, it's going to come through you guys. You are the chain breaker in your family. It might have started with someone else, but if you're on the line, I feel like there's a very special anointing of chain breakers on this line, and it's up to us. And it sucks. It really does. That we had to go through the pain and that we have to be the ones to break the chains. It does. And trust me, I know. You're like, why couldn't our parents and grandparents, why couldn't they have been the ones, right? But nobody told them about Jesus. So we have to continually share the gospel, share this kind of healing word with people so that they can get their own healing and truth. I mean, I just want to cry almost when I think of the people that are going to go apply this, right? Or the people that turn from their wicked ways. There's a story of a church I used to go to, and the gentleman, and I won't hold you too much longer, 5 more minutes and then we'll get to prayer. But the gentleman was like an alcoholic, drug addict, lived on the street, homeless, all that stuff. He went to Teen Challenge, got into Teen Challenge, right? Turned his life around over to Jesus and became a pastor here in Fort Worth, became a pastor. His wife is amazing. And then their sons are all pastors and in ministry and have beautiful homes, beautiful wives, beautiful lives. I mean, it's just a beautiful legacy of what can happen when one person decides to seek the Lord and to really live righteously or to do their best, right? Because we're sinful. We're always going to be sinful. We're never going to be perfect. But I'm like, I don't know about y'all, but I want that. The Bible says, let me find this scripture really quickly, you guys. I have this actually on my budget because I'm like, I am declaring this scripture over my family. But it says, I will give you the land I swore your ancestors to give you, the prosperity, the cattle, the abundance, your children's children will be blessed. I want that blessing over my family. I don't know about y'all. I mean, I hope you do too. But we have to be the ones to start the process of healing, because without healing, without moving forward from our pain and trauma, we're just going to continue the cycle. And it's a vicious cycle. And the devil would like nothing better than to keep us in that hamster wheel. He wants to keep you addicted. He wants to keep you angry. He wants to keep you narcissistic. He wants to keep you, you know, living for yourself and, you know, forgetting about your family. He wants to keep you in that cycle. Why? Because if he gets you, he gets your lineage. But T.D. Jakes has a sermon, and it's so good, and it says the enemy is after the man, because the man is supposed to be the head of the household, the spiritual leader, and it says if he gets the man, he gets the whole family. And that is so true. Have you seen our society? We have so many Peter Pans running around, these men that don't want responsibility, don't want to be faithful, and I'm not blaming men. There's women that are, you know, a part of that as well. But we need a revival of men in this nation, in this world, because I feel like the enemy has gone after them. We need to pray. We need to lift up our men so that they are the spiritual leaders that they are supposed to be, that they are the protectors and providers of their family, right? And so I don't want anyone to feel condemned by any of this. I want you to feel conviction. And so there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I'm always going to, you know, Jesus slap you because I'm Jesus slapping myself, and Jesus slaps hurt, but they feel so good because it's what we need to hear, right? And sometimes we don't want to hear. We want to hear feel-good sermons about how we're going to be prosperous and everything's going to be okay, but we don't want to be convicted. We don't want somebody to, like, really look at us and say, hey, I think you need to work on this, or hey, this is something you're struggling with. Like, what are you going to do about it, right? Like, the Bible says, like, if someone is sinning, we need to go to them and we need to, like, talk to them about it. And if they don't want to receive it, then we need to go back to someone else, right? And we need to bring them with us and show them scripture. And if they still don't want to change their ways, then we're just supposed to be like, bye, Felicia. So, you know, I think that we need conviction in this day and age. And so let's open our hearts and minds to receive that from each other and not get defensive and shut down, right? Like, let's really be like, okay, you know, I did need to hear that. Because constructive criticism, especially in conviction, is a good thing. It's a good thing. So, again, I don't want you to pass this bitterness to anyone around you. I want you to have peace. I want you to have healing from your emotional pain. It is possible. I know there's some of you that deal with it every single day, and it's so painful. I can imagine how your pain, but we're here to pray for you, and I pray that you apply these steps today and get healing from it. And so I hope that you have a life overflowing that God promises in John 10:10, and a life in abundance, and that you really do, like, today is a line in the sand that, like, I will stand for this no more in my family, and I'm going to be the person, and I'm going to do my part today to try to walk forward in the promises of God for my life and for those around me, because it will be like a ripple effect. When you throw a stone, when you skip stones in the water, you see tons of ripples. There are so many people that were one person, and they changed thousands of lives. And so I just pray that over you today, that anointing, that Holy Spirit anointing that is going to change lives. I mean, it could be one person. You could be the person that changes someone else's life through your ministering to them, and they're going to be the ones that are changing a thousand. Somebody had to minister to Billy Graham, right? So that one person that ministered to Billy Graham, maybe he didn't minister to anybody else, or maybe he didn't touch anybody else, but he touched Billy Graham, and look what Billy Graham did. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that, right? Like, I mean, glory to God, but I want to be that vessel that God uses to change lives. So, and it doesn't come easy. Y'all, the mantle is heavy. It's heavy. The mantle is heavy, but God's yoke is easy. His burden is light. So if we're coming to him every day and we're spending our time with God and we're getting filled up by him, I promise you it's going to be easier, because he's going to be with you and he's going to strengthen and empower you. The Bible says he gives us dunamis power, which is like dynamite power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So we don't have to do it in our own strength. That's why it says his burden is easy and light.